Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today. Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 427.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so excited to be bringing you a conversation with a guest who I think is just as passionate about trauma therapy as I am, Monique Hoving-Smeets. Monique Hoving-Smeets, MFT, CCC, RCC, is based on Vancouver Island, British Columbia, Canada, and she is the owner of a private practice called Relationship Works and creator of the TRIP Trauma Regulation and Integration Process. In her private practice, the majority of her clients present with trauma, complex trauma, religious and ritual abuse, dissociative disorders, and attachment development injuries, presenting in so many different ways, including chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, depression, rage, perfectionism, disordered eating. And Monique was born in the Netherlands and has lived in 7 countries, but she considers Canada her permanent home. And I'm so grateful that she and I have connected, and I was really happy to get the chance to talk with her and learn more about TRIP in our conversation. You're going to hear Monique talking about a really interesting thing that happens during the TRIP process regarding how one eye might know things that the other eye doesn't. And she's going to describe how one eye may be holding a coping part and the other eye may be holding the part that has all the memory of what happened during a traumatic experience. I think it's fascinating, you know, when you think about structural dissociation theory and the going on with normal life part, for example. And of course, you know, most of us have many parts. Monique's description of what she experienced and saw while using TRIP and in training is really fascinating and just sort of gets my brain working and with all kinds of ideas about the eye movement related and eye related therapies that are already out there and what all of this means. So I hope you'll find this as interesting and thought-provoking as I did. Let's get right into my conversation with Monique Hoving-Smeets. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so excited to be speaking with Monique Hoving-Smeets, MFT. Monique, thank you so much for being my guest today on Therapy Chat.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today, that's for sure.
Me too. We've been trying to make this happen for a while, and we're finally together here. And I am really excited to share with our audience what you're doing in the world, because you've got some big, exciting projects that you're putting together that are really impactful. And I just can't wait for everybody to hear what you want to share. But before we get into the juicy parts, let's just start off with you telling our audience just a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So yes, I am a marriage and family therapist. I'm based on Vancouver Island, but I'm originally from the Netherlands. And so hence my strange accent. I have lived in, I think, 7 or 8 countries. And so having English as a second language, you're always adapting to the language and the accents of the country that you live in. And so we moved to Canada about 9 years ago. So lived in Australia for 11 years and then moved here to do my master's in marriage and family therapy and just left living in Canada. And yeah, so we've now been on Vancouver Island for about over 4 years. And so I previously worked for a non-for-profit for 5 years, focusing on working with adults, children, families. But now in my private practice, I only work with adults mainly, but couples, adult families or individuals, and really ranging from what I call attachment-based wounds and traumas and ruptures that lead to so many different types of presentations, including things like eating disorders, misophonia, you know, other presentations that we may not necessarily immediately recognize as being attachment-based wounds, lots of complex trauma, PTSD, dissociative disorders. I do have the honor to work with people who have survived ritual abuse and satanic ritual abuse as well. Often clients that have come from religious organizations that have impacted them in a very negative way. And so, yeah, so I see a really broad spectrum of clients. I also work a lot with chronic psychosomatic symptoms. Even though clients initially might present it as chronic physical symptoms, they then discover, as we talk about TRIP today, that they're actually chronic psychosomatic symptoms. And so perhaps we can, you know, talk a little bit more about that in the story as well.
Yes, thank you. And let's just start off there with, what do you mean when you say psychosomatic symptoms? Because I know for myself, like, we used to hear, I mean, this is when I was growing up, people would say, oh, it's psychosomatic. And that would be tied with, it's all in your head. It's not real. Yeah. But we know that that's not really what.
Yeah.
I mean, somatic symptomization is not, somatization, I think is the word I'm looking for, yes. Is not yes. In your head at all. It's your body reacting to your emotional state. So let's just start there with getting what you meant, how you use that. And then we'll unpack a lot more about, because TRIP is your major exciting topic that we want to discuss.
Totally.
Well, okay, wait, before, I'm sorry, Monique, this is the worst, but before you even go into talking about psychosomatic, what does TRIP stand for?
So TRIP actually stands for Trauma Regulation and Integration Process. And so it is a therapeutic approach that combines 5 different, in my perspective, essential therapeutic components that are then used to facilitate 3 core processes. And so the 3 core processes are the projection, permission, and compassion process. I'm sure we'll unpack a little bit more about that, a little bit further.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's talk about what is psychosomatic in your
in my telling. World.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting to me when people used to say, oh, it's all in your head. I'm like, yes, that's where the brain lives. Of course, it's all in our head. Like, what are we thinking? Right? Like, so it's actually
isn't
really
it controlling all the processes in our body?
Right? Like, it's almost like saying, wow, you've got an engine in your car. Yes. And the problem is, right? So to me, like, you know, that just has never resonated. I'm like, yes, of course, it's all in your head. Yes, it's in under your hood, right, of the car. Right. Yeah, so. And so when I talk about psychosomatic symptoms, what I've really learned, and hopefully we'll get to talk a little bit more about that today, is that a lot of particularly ongoing, chronic, somatic, physical sensations that seem either untreatable or mysterious or long-lasting with no specific answer, what I've discovered is that there seems to actually be 4 different types of categories that relate to psychological distress attachment, misattunement, attachment trauma and distress, or very specific trauma impacts that people live with that has actually never been, I guess, reunited to the different parts of ourselves. So when I talk about psychosomatic symptoms, I'm talking about ongoing presentations of physical symptoms that are often left misunderstood, but we can actually really directly find its way back to these particular categories, such as attachment wounds or ruptures, trauma, unmet needs, and nervous system regulation or dysregulation elements that belong to different parts that in turn belong to different eyes. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that later today.
Yes. And that's one of the really, really fascinating aspects of TRIP for me is the eye-brain connections that you are making and how you're working with them. So why don't we start talking about TRIP with talking about what is it now? Like, without going into all the parts of it, just like how fleshed out is TRIP and how is it being offered?
As in, like, what does the model and approach actually look like when a therapist uses it? Or,
well, like, what stage of development is TRIP in terms of, you know, you have created this?
Yes.
Where is it? Can people find it? Is it in progress? That kind of thing.
Totally. Yeah. So for the last probably now 4 years, it's been now really fully developed in terms of its theoretical foundation, its clinical development, and it now actually is being offered as form of a training. And I've developed 5 different trainings so far for TRIP. And so people can actually either get an introduction to TRIP, which is called the TRIP Express these days, which is just a 5-hour training where therapists can kind of get a glimpse of, is this real? Like, because often some of the things I talk about are honestly not very believable. Mm-hmm. And so it's not until you kind of really see it or experience it yourself that this whole new world starts to open up. So the TRIP Express is really for people, for therapists to get an idea of what is this modality and would this serve my clients, right? Do I work with the kind of clients that this would work for? And so then the other piece is that we now offer the core foundational training, which is a 7-day training with added consultation, where you really get to learn the 5 different core elements of TRIP, the therapeutic elements that form the integrative skill set. And that integrative skill set is then used to facilitate the 3 core processes. Once people have done the core foundational, they can actually opt either to enhance their learnings in working with chronic psychosomatic symptoms, parts work, and eye movements. And I've developed lots of different ways of using eye movements per eye in very specific ways. You and I haven't even talked about that element. Or a therapist can sign up how to use TRIP with couples and families. I further developed how to use TRIP for phobias and traffic-related fears. And one particular exercise is called the nervous system regulation exercise that actually uses the permission process. It actually uses working with one eye open at a time to really help the brain engage in relaxation, which is one of the hardest pieces to do when it comes to working with trauma. So those are some of the things that I've developed so far.
It's amazing. And you are doing this all. You're delivering all of the training yourself.
Yeah. And so it's basically, on the one hand, I see my clients in my private practice. I offer a lot of trauma intensives. And so that people can actually come to the island and they do 3 or 4 days of therapy in a row, where we do 3 to 5 hours of TRIP. It's intense. It really is intense. But the beautiful part of that is that people start with a particular goal and hope. And then instead of waiting until your next session comes along, which may be in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks, you actually get to process it and really help to work the brain, the body, and the mind to be really reunited. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that looks like in TRIP. So that by the end of the 3, 4, or 5 days that people choose, they can really sense that it's different on the inside. Their brain actually functions differently. Their body is actually accessible in much more helpful and more regulated ways. So that's kind of how I work with my clients on the one hand, and then basically do the training on the other hand. And so I do both training and group supervision and individual supervision for once therapists have been trained.
That's wonderful. And okay, so now that you've explained that, and I'm very appreciative, let's get into what we were talking about, wanting to talk about, which I think, you know, is better for you to explain, but the way that you use the iBrain work with parts is something so different to me than anything I've heard. And I would love for you to just talk about that and maybe give a little bit of a background of like why you would use this and how Trip works with that.
Sure. Yeah. So the two pieces that I would like to explain is how when you work one eye open at a time, how that accesses instantly different parts. And then when you have access to different parts, it also relates to the somatic, the emotional, and the cognitive pieces that the parts may or may not be connected to. So what I'd like to kind of lay out for today is that how each eye actually is differently connected to a different part, and that internally, parts actually have internal attachment dynamics that unfortunately, without people knowing, because we live with both eyes open most of the time, we often actually re-injure ourselves and re-traumatize ourselves because of how what I call the wounded part and the coping part, how their internal attachment dynamics operate. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that so that I can have listeners kind of get a bit of a sense of what is it that I'm actually referring to. What have I discovered in terms of these internal attachment-based patterns between parts and how that links back to one eye open at a time and how that also provides very different access to the body and to the nervous system. And so it is literally mind-blowing to see what unfolds when you start using TREP. And so I'm hoping is that kind of in part what we can talk
absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, there's no way that we would have enough time in one interview for you to explain everything about TREP because it's just so in depth and it's so complex in a really meaningful way. Not in a overcomplicated, it's very complex.
Yeah.
But I think that this will spark listeners' interest, whether you're someone who's thinking about healing or if you're a therapist who's working with using therapeutic methods with people.
Oh, for sure. The only preface I would like to make is that if you are listening, I know people get very curious. I just want listeners to be mindful. If you are going to try this on your own, that you have the potential of accessing trauma very rapidly and without knowing what to do. So my recommendation is to not try it on your own, but I can't obviously prevent people from wanting to be curious. And so just be mindful of how you're going to be using your curiosity and the information that I'll be presenting today. I think that would be really helpful for me.
Yeah, I would say that it's really important to respect the power of our systems and also why our parts are the way they are and may need to be the way they are. And if you're listening or watching and you think, oh, I'll just do this right now, you might be kind of overriding your system's own protections.
Yes.
And that could be re-traumatizing for you. We don't want that. So please listen with curiosity and, you know,
and go slow.
If you want to try it, do it in a way that's intentional with someone who knows how to help you with what's coming up.
Totally. And what I love about what you just said, Laura, is really what you're talking about is permission.
Yep.
And that is such a thread in TREP. Is we permeate every process in TREP with what I call permission-based language. The second process in TREP is called the permission process. And I would love to actually talk a little bit about that today if we do have time, just so that we hold those two tangents that I can talk about parts work, working one eye open at a time, how the internal attachment works. And then the second piece to really be talking about the permission-based language and the permission process. I think those two pieces might be really of interest to listeners.
Yeah, they seem to be hand in hand from what we've discussed.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yes. So you have the floor. Tell us.
Okay. Okay. So basically what I want listeners to picture is that if you are thinking about a particular theme or experience that you would like to process, then in a way, the body already gears up because you're already thinking about what you'd like to process. Then what these eye brain techniques do is that I will invite the client to cover one eye. I won't go into depth about the first process, which is the projection process, just for time-wise. But I do want listeners to know that what happens is that once you kind of have thought about what you'd like to process, you then proceed to cover one eye. Very frequently, all of a sudden, your visual perception of the world changes. So if you actually have somebody sitting opposite you, let's say the therapist or a friend, all of a sudden that person might look a little bit different, all the way to very different. I call it the mild to wild response. Hmm. And I'm saying that just because we were saying don't practice this at home, don't try this at home kind of advice, is that sometimes I will instantly look like a guy with a beard. And can you imagine how the nervous system instantly, just by covering one eye, all of a sudden your outside world looks different. And then when you switch to the other eye, all of a sudden that person might actually not look like that at all. They might actually appear like themselves. And so I just want to very briefly share with you that when you start working one eye open at a time, your visual, physical, and emotional and cognitive perceptions of the world changes. And so, which is so important why we then decide which distance we actually sit from the client per eye. So just that's a little prelude about the projection process. So in TRIP, we really focus on how to regulate the nervous system in many different ways. And this is one way we regulate the nervous system, is where we sit as a therapist per eye is different. So that's basically just a little heads up in terms of how crazy these eye brain techniques can impact the brain. So once you've actually chosen a topic that you thought about processing and we've figured out where I, as a therapist, need to be sitting, and there's a lot more to it, but then we get to what I call the permission process. Once you cover one eye, typically we get access to parts that I call the wounded part or parts. What I've now realized is that one eye directly connects to the part that is still connected to the experience as if it's still happening today. That means that when you cover one eye, all of a sudden your body posture might change, your facial expressions change, your voice might change. You may not have any specific diagnosis. Okay, so this is not just for when people are diagnosed with DID or any other OSDD or, you know, just different dissociative disorders. So one eye leads to the parts that are directly connected to the experience as if it's still happening today, because it's unprocessed, uncared for, and unregulated. So the interesting piece is if we then cover the other eye, so we call it switching, all of a sudden that eye is now connected or seemingly connected, let's just put that out there, to parts that I call the coping part. And that is the part that is, you know, in the here and now, or is at least more developed from where the wounded part has left off. That part tends to know more, tends to have more information about the here and now, but actually seems to be more cut off from vulnerability and accessibility to emotions. And so the reason why this is really important to understand is that the coping part could not have survived if it was left connecting to the emotional experiences of the past. It would have been so overwhelming. Now what? So there are another category of parts called what I call the reactive parts. We don't have time to go into that today. I just want listeners to kind of go, oh, is that the only two categories of parts that you work with? So we have the wounded part, the coping part, the reactive part. And so each eye is differently connected to the type of part, which is just fascinating. And that's, yeah,
so it's not one eye represents one part, one eye represents the other part. They both can access the different parts, but they have different connections with each part. Is that right?
Yes and no. So once you have chosen the topic, the wounded part will be, let's say, on your left eye, and the coping part will be on your right eye.
Okay.
And they will be connected to the incident or the experience that you chose to process.
Okay.
And if you have the eye open that presents the wounded part, now you have access to the experience as if it's still happening, meaning the nervous system, the brain, the thoughts, the emotions, and the somatic responses are literally presenting itself as if the incident is still happening. Think about your heart rate. If you have the eye that's open that is directly connected to a very scary experience, with one eye open, you're going to have possibly an instant influx of anxiety. And that part might actually share with you, well, yes, it was really terrifying. Or sometimes they even say it is really scary because to them, time hasn't moved on. They're literally frozen in time. So the interesting part is that part might actually really be escalating in anxiety and terror. And then yet when we switch to the other side, instantly, like within seconds, that panic is gone because the coping part actually doesn't connect to that experience in the same way. So now we're actually accessing the coping part, who might even say something like, I don't know what the other side is talking about, but I don't have anxiety. And it is mind-blowing to see that the body and the brain are literally able within seconds to move almost from a panic attack to instantly feeling calm. Because the coping part isn't directly connected to the experience in the way the wounded part is.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something that then switches in the nervous system because now the coping part is doing life. It has survived the trauma, albeit by disconnecting from vulnerability, albeit from disconnecting to the body.
Right.
Which is why, I mean, sometimes it appears that the coping part is the quote unquote healthy part. Because it's the up-to-date part. But if we don't have access to vulnerability and emotional access, we miss a lot of important information.
So and then connection.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And so what's really interesting to notice is that the coping part often has copied the attachment dynamics and behaviors from the caregiver who either deliberately or not deliberately hurt them. And so let's say that an environment or the caregiver or the parent engaged in behaviors such as, let's just keep it simple, like dismissing your needs, dismissing your distress. And they might have done that because they thought it was a good idea to make you tough, just toughen you up. And by doing so, they dismissed your worries, they dismissed your fears. So by lived experience, this coping part now learns to dismiss and minimize its own pain and its own worries and its own concerns. Now, I want you to picture if you switch back to the wounded part still lives with the experience as if it happened yesterday, uncared for, needs not being met, and the entire physiological and emotional response is connected to it. So this, when I talk about the internal attachment dynamic, you now have the coping part that has learned to emulate and is impacted and shaped by the attachment caregiver, now acts and responses like that caregiver towards the internal wounded part. So now without us knowing, because we live life, well, for many of us, not for everybody, with both eyes open, we don't realize that we actually continue to re-traumatize ourselves. So the wounded part gets actually more stuck and less attended to because the coping part has learned to dismiss it and minimize it. And when we work one eye open at a time, you start to see what I call the eye that either wants to stay connected at all cost to the attachment caregiver or the part that wants to stay protected at all cost. And it might, let's say, I will never trust anybody again. And so that part has learned to survive by not trusting anybody ever again. Well, that's great, but the wounded part is left with longing for these attachment connections. So the wounded part will learn to function and expressing pain and emotional needs because it wants to stay connected at all costs. It needs to be cared for. Mm-hmm. The hierarchy of care lies with the attachment caregivers. And so the wounded part has all these unmet needs. And then the coping part starts to act and emulate and repeat attachment dynamics that it picked up from its environment. And often the coping part will also learn to treat itself harshly. Because if I treat myself more harshly than my caregiver does, then I become more resilient to the next time my caregiver does it to me. It won't affect me so much. So now I can actually stay in connection with the other caregiver. But unbeknownst to us, we actually further the aloneness on the inside. Either way, we actually have to abandon ourselves over and over and over again. The only thing is we now don't realize we're now doing that internally to ourselves. And that is also one of the reasons why chronic somatic symptoms such as chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, they are actually connected to these internal attachment dynamics between parts. It sustains the injury.
The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is the EMDR therapy training brainchild of Dr. Jamie Marriage, a clinician and author who's on a mission to confront stigma around mental health, trauma, and dissociation. The Institute, informed by Jamie's work, teaches a somatic, expressive, bottom-up approach to EMDR therapy that does not treat dissociation like a dirty word. ICM empowers their students to navigate dissociation as a normal response to trauma and stress when it shows up. Dr. Jamie Marriage is out and proud on various levels about her own recovery and is a strong believer in the healing capacities of EMDR therapy and helping our clients to heal from the impact of trauma. I and two of my team members have been trained by the Institute for Creative Mindfulness directly with Jamie, and I was impressed with how dissociation really was treated as just a normal aspect of trauma therapy work, which it is. Both Jamie and the consultants were matter of fact about if and when dissociation arises, it's okay, it's normal, and here's how you can help the client in that situation. The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is offering a coupon code to save 15% off any program offered by ICM. This includes their EMDR therapy basic training programs and a wide variety of their home study, advanced topics, and other CE offerings. Go to instituteforcreativemindfulness.com and use promo code 15OFF for listeners. There's a link in the show notes. You can copy the promo code and use the link right there in the show notes to make it easy.
We all know that small actions can make a big difference in our lives. I know for me, I can be in a terrible mood, go out somewhere and see a stranger, make eye contact and just smile at them and find suddenly I feel good. Whether it's practicing mindfulness a few minutes each day, movement practices, small actions can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. Your body is an ecosystem, and great health starts in the gut. Your gut is a central hub for various pathways through the body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, our immune systems, and more. Trust your gut with Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/living and use code 25LIVING to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/living, code 25LIVING.
So that's kind of in part what I've discovered. And this is just one component, obviously. A small aspect of the trip. But it's an important piece because it shows up in the permission process, in the compassion process, because our whole focus is to help soften the coping part to the point that it can tolerate accessing emotional vulnerability. We help the wounded part continue to express feelings and needs in a way that can be tolerated by the coping part. And by working one eye open at a time, I've also actually developed certain eye brain techniques that then allow the brain to create full transparency into the world of each part. And that's a very, very exciting piece that I sometimes can't even believe that it works. And so it's called, and for therapists that have been trip trained and are listening to this, they'll know what I talk about when I talk about the quick flash. And the quick flash is basically a peekaboo movement on one eye that helps one part to gain access and full transparency into the experience that the other part has. Can I give a quick example of that? Is that okay?
Please, sure.
So for example, let's say that the coping part is, well, I actually feel really calm on this side. I know that I have gained skills in life. I might have actually become a therapist. I have all this knowledge and I'm feeling really good on this side. My heart rate is not racing. I'm not experiencing this anxiety. And then I go back to the other side. And the other side goes, what do you mean I became a therapist? I need you to know that parts of you may not even know that you became a therapist or that you got married or that your life actually moved on.
Or that the abuse isn't still happening.
Yes. Thank you. That's exactly it. And what's really beautiful is that the wounded part might actually say, well, I'm sitting here with all the terror. I don't know what it's like to feel my body being calm. Let's just zone in on that element.
Yeah.
So let's say that the left eye was able to experience the body in a calm way and the right eye has never experienced the body in a calm way. I ask permission if the part that has the calm experience is willing to share its state and its experience with the other side. And what I do is I cover the eye that is the wounded part that does not have access in that moment to a calm body. So the eye that does have the connections to a calm body, I get it to share what it's like to feel this calm. What are you noticing is calm? Is it the muscles? Is it the heart? What are you noticing about your body and your mind that is telling you that this is a calm state of being? We then use the quick flash. We open and close as we have the calm side describe it and live it. And then we get the other side to literally take sneak peeks by open and close. And then when we switch back to the wounded part, that part often says to me, oh my goodness, I have never ever experienced calm, even for 5 seconds. And now all of a sudden there's a shared experience on an emotional, cognitive, and at a somatic level that they were never able to access before. Like that to me is mind-blowing. And that literally is relevant for emotions, convictions, somatic sensations. And again, it's just a snapshot of what we do when we work through, for example, somatic symptoms. But that to me is mind-blowing that we can give a part access to a state of being, to an emotion, to a belief that it has never previously had access to, and to then actually feel it for itself. It's not just that it just gets to have a quick snapshot and then, oh, well, that's sad. I don't live there. No, now it actually seems a neurological connection has been shaped because it remains having access to that newfound information. I get excited.
I love it. I see your enthusiasm, your excitement, and your wonder, the awe that you're demonstrating in what you've witnessed and using this with people and teaching it and what your students are experiencing. I'm excited for you. I mean, I'm excited for what you're developing and how it can help people. And
yes,
it's amazing. It's beautiful and wonderful.
Yeah, it's that piece, right? Like I just get so excited about the hope that this brings.
Yes.
For people, it's literally like astonishing to me what is possible for us that we haven't uncovered yet. And so that to me just gives so much hope. And just as a side note, I did mention, you know, very quickly about when people have both eyes open, but there are people, including some of my clients, who actually do not have real eyes anymore. Some of my clients have artificial eyes. They actually do not have an optic nerve. And I have literally discovered a way how to use the switching techniques with my blind clients so that we still can use TRIP even though they have no eyesight. So I want people to know that if you're listening and you're kind of wondering, yeah, but what if I don't have both eyes? Or what if I don't even have eyes? I need you to know it doesn't matter. I literally have discovered how to use this with somebody or with my clients that are partially or fully blind.
Yeah, that's doesn't seem that surprising to me, but it's very heartening because it's good to know that the access is available to people.
Yeah.
In spite of what is their vision situation and their having eyes even.
Yes. Yeah. So I know that I sometimes get called the crazy therapist that uses eye therapy for people that are blind. So it's good. It's good to know that, you know, those are the options. And yeah, it's
a
wonderful journey.
So I know we don't have time to go much more into this, but I just want to ask you to tell people, like, what's next for Trip? Where are you going with it? I know you're in the process of developing research with it.
Yes. Yeah. And I know that I didn't get a chance to talk about the permission process. I'll tell a little bit about the research that we're currently doing. If we have a couple of minutes, I'd love to very briefly talk about permission if we have tried.
It's okay for me.
Okay. So we started a research project about four or five months ago, and it involves sending out monthly surveys for clients that have done TRIP. And these are my own clients, but these are also clients from therapists that have been trained in TRIP. And so one of the beautiful things is that it was very scary to look at the results. So I have a professor in California who has donated his time. He's a research expert who actually has been so generously donating his time to guide this research project. And what we are finding is that in one of the questions, we ask people who have had previous therapy how they would rate the experience with TRIP. And 85% said this was better than what they have ever tried before. Like 85%, I was just like, that can't be true, right?
That's a high number.
That's a very high number. And so that was pretty shocking to me. And so it is very hopeful. We are continuing to do another 4 or 5 months of research before we are hoping to publish an article. So together with a colleague of mine, we are literally on the brink of starting to gather resources to publish an article. So that's where we are at with the research piece.
So let me real quick ask you,
yeah,
just if someone was listening who might be interested in learning more or doing more or helping you with the research, or what would you want them to do how would you want them to get in touch with you about that?
Right. Yeah. So my search for people that know a lot about either neuroscience or neuro-ophthalmology, brain science, I am desperately looking for answers that will actually clarify why am I getting so much success with this? Like, what is actually happening? And so if people are interested or at least curious, they can reach me via my email address, which is Monique, M-O-N-I-Q-U-E, at relationshipworkswithanx-therapy.com. And that's the best way to get in touch with me. And even if it's just, you know, a curiosity, I'm more than happy to show video material. Clients have, you know, given permission to, you know, show these videos for training purposes and research purposes. And so I would love to hear from anybody that is, you know, maybe kind of curious or has knowledge about why this might be working the way that it does. So I'd love to hear from anybody.
Yes, I would love if this podcast episode helps you connect with somebody who's like, oh, I would love to help her, you know, go deeper on this one part of this because I have the expertise in blank. And our listeners are so talented, so curious. And I'm sure that if somebody's listening who would have something to offer, they will get in touch. I'll be sure to put the email address in the show notes. So it's right there, easy to see. But I know we want to talk about the permission process too, if we have enough time.
Yeah. I'd love to just briefly talk about that because there's two pieces. Is that first of all, TRIP was really shaped by my clients. When I started working one eye open at a time, I was literally falling into these experiences that I'm like, what is this? And so what would happen is that with both eyes open, a client would say to me, yeah, of course, I want to work on this. You know, this has been such a long time. I'm really ready to dive into this. And then I would cover one eye and then I would start processing. And then we'd get to the other side and the other side was literally completely dissociated. The eye would be shutting down. The eye actually started to have blurred vision, which is often a sign of dissociation. And I was like, hang on, do you even want to process this? And that eye would say to me, no, not at all. And I'd be like, oh, so the permission process actually was born out of people's responses that was different from one eye to the other. And so then I actually started to implement that every time that I saw a client. And so what happens is that once the client with both eyes open says, yes, I want to work on XYZ, then we cover one eye. And then what I do is I actually repeat back very shortly the conversation that we had. And I said, okay, so with both eyes open, you and I were talking about, you know, this particular experience or this particular somatic sensation that you've been experiencing or this particular smell that you just seem to respond very strongly to. How does this side feel about the fact that A, we would like to know a little bit more about them, and B, possibly get permission to heal it? How does this side feel about it? And then typically, if you have the coping part, it typically talks fast. It goes, well, yeah, of course. No, I definitely want to do this. And then they try to slow it down. They kind of go, okay, so let's just think about that. If we are going to process this, what are you needing either from me or from the other side, meaning the other eye, in order for this process to go well? So those are some questions that they ask. So then we go to the other side and I start from baseline. I go, okay, so with both eyes open, we talked about working through this. Am I allowed to know? So I use permission-based language. Am I allowed to know? How does this side even feel about the fact that we've just chosen this particular topic? Is there any hesitation? Is there any worry or any fear for us knowing more about it, A, and possibly heal it? And I can tell you that when I work very specifically with chronic psychosomatic symptoms, and this is just a guesstimate, about 95% of the time, I get a no or a very strong hesitation in the permission process that part is no. That's a terrible idea if we're going to heal that. And then what I discovered is that symptom or that presentation has a very specific meaning or function.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give you a very quick example, and I know I'm at liberty to share this. So one of my clients has chronic fatigue and a severe form of chronic fatigue. And what we discovered is that her younger versions of herself never experienced boundaries. Nobody helped her set boundaries. Nobody honored her boundaries. And that part is still alive and kicking, still knows no boundaries. And so when she is in daily life situations that require her to say no, she often either tries to say no, but then retracts it and says yes, or just says yes when she means no. And guess what the body does? Chronic fatigue shows up to the rescue. It says no for her.
Mm.
Chronic fatigue actually says, oh, I know how to do boundaries. Here, you get to be restful for the next 3 days. And unfortunately, it then feels like a punishment for the client because the client is not aware that the boundaries were overstepped by saying yes when you should have said no. And then chronic fatigue says, excuse me, did you forget about the fact that I actually gave you a little anxiety when you said yes and you pushed that little anxiety away? That was me, the wounded part who needs you to hear me and not ignore me. So when you ignore me, I actually take over and here's your chronic fatigue and now you're in bed for the next 3 days. And we actually discovered that when your voice is lost, either as a result of trauma, your body will take over and learn to speak for you, even though on the outside we will pathologize that and say, well, this is an illness. And we have to understand the meaning and the function of these symptoms because they are there for a reason. And I'm not saying that that's where we leave it at. We then obviously want to go through the entire processes to then find the healing for both parts.
Yeah, that's the part that's so, I think that is so impressive to me about this is that it's really, a way to understand the function, not just that they have a function.
Yes.
And not just even interpreted through the cognitive lens, you know, of up here.
Yes.
It's like coming directly from the part and, you know, directly.
Totally. By accessing it one eye open at a time. Yes. And what's really beautiful is what we help to do is to switch to the other side and go, wow, what was it like for you to hear that the other side actually doesn't want to heal? Because it's worried that if we're going to heal the chronic fatigue, let's say, that there will be no way that you're going to be able to set boundaries. Mm-hmm. What's it like for you now to hear the other side explain that? And typically people are completely shocked. I had no idea. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Right? With both eyes open, you go to therapy hoping you're going to get some tools to help you feel better. And then you discover that there's a part. Go, hell no, we're not healing that. You are taking exactly away what you're needing. You just don't know you're needing.
Yeah.
So it's that whole permission seeking process goes in so much depth. And then I will ask that part, okay, if you were to consider healing from this, what would you be needing either from me or from the other side? And that part might go, well, I have no plans on healing this unless the other side is willing to learn about boundaries.
Mm.
So now we are negotiating between the two parts about what is needing to actually move towards full healing. It honestly, I can't tell you, like I have so many examples of why the body says no, and that is just the comma, not the full stop.
Mm-hmm.
And to really dive deep into that permission process to understand why is it not wanting to heal? Because it already thinks it's helping you. It's similar with OCD. Yes, we have pathologized it. No, actually, it's trying to help you. And it's trying to help you distract from feelings you don't know how to deal with. That's just another example.
Yeah.
So there are so many things that we discover in the permission process. And then throughout the entire trip processes, we use permission-based language. Is it even okay for me to ask you this? Are you interested in answering this particular question? What is it like for you that we are even talking about this feeling of anger? Does that even feel safe for you for us to even talk about that or process? So there's a lot of permission-based language throughout the entire trip process. Yeah.
Well, I think it is very exciting that you're doing this, that you're developing it further. I'm glad that we got connected so that I'm learning about it. And I really appreciate you spending your time with me and our listeners today to share about this. I think it seems like there's so much possibility and, like you've said, hope to bring this to people. And
oh, absolutely. And, you know, just to know that there's so much uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have even tried this in the midst of somebody being in a psychotic episode and discovered that the psychotic responses were only connected to one eye. The psychosis literally instantly switched between the eyes. And somebody that has had a stroke, they discovered that they could actually move their body in ways that they cannot move their body with both eyes open. Like, honestly, I'm just sitting here with all this knowledge and all these experiences. And I'm like, can somebody come alongside of me and help me figure out the scientific pieces to this? So, yeah.
I know what you mean because, you know, I can understand it on some level from my experiences. And then there's like, but why does that make sense? I know it does, you know? Yeah. So I'm wishing you more just courage and strength in the process of continuing to explore this. And so, Monique, do you want to share your website where people can learn more about all your good stuff?
Yes. We are actually in the process of developing a new website for trip trauma therapy for training and specific to therapists. So currently the website is relationshipworkswithanx-therapy.com. Okay. The future website that is literally in the midst of being built right now will be triptraumatherapy.com, .net, .academy, and so triptraumatherapy. And so that will be up and running in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, great. So by the time this goes live, it'll be the new website. So yeah, I'll be sure to include that in the show notes too.
Beautiful. And thank you, Monique, for having me.
Thank you for spending your time here with me this
afternoon. I really, really appreciate the time that you've given me. That really means a lot, Laura, to be taken serious and to be sharing this with you. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Regan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.